This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You walk in tired and hungry. One bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to everyone's phone calls here on Petullo and the pie of blame. Is he getting too much blame for this? I think he quite clearly is. We've scapegoated this guy, and the Eagles are probably going to do it sooner than later. All right, we'll get back to that. Ross Tucker will join us at 12:30. His thoughts on what happened in the Eagles, what's next, and where the postseason goes from here, as there are now 8 teams left as the divisional round weekend starts on Saturday. All right, though, before we get back to all that, Hugh, we got an update here on the Bo Bichette stuff for the Phillies.
What we got?
All right, according to John Heyman, yesterday, the Bo Bichette meeting with the Phillies is said to have gone very well. Bichette apparently admires, quote, first-class organization, other pluses, the roster, the park, Mattingly's link, spring proximity to home. So it sounded like yesterday's Zoom meeting or however they did it was a good one, and now we wait for the next steps. That's great. But there's something else that's interesting about this, Hugh, is we, I guess, all assumed, I did, that if Bichette arrived, that meant JT Realmuto is out, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to have any money for him. Well, unless JT Realmuto's market is drying up and he has no other options. Let's listen to this. MLB Network Radio, they're talking about Realmuto and what options he does have right now.
I think the right play is bringing Realmuto back for 1 year. And I don't think Realmuto has a lot of options. You know, I know it's tough to take pay cuts. I totally get that part. But at some point, whatever the market is what it is. I have not heard of a single team that is in on Realmuto right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of feel like at some point, if he wants to keep playing, which he doesn't have to at 35 years old, but if he wants to keep playing, I think he probably needs to do this deal with the Phillies.
Hugh, I hadn't thought of the idea, and I think mostly because the way it was reported, that the Phillies really didn't have much, enough to kind of have both.
Mm-hmm.
But as I listen to that, if he doesn't have much of a market, he might have no choice but to accept a 1 year deal at a far less price than he was last year. I'm starting to now wonder, could they do the Bichette thing and still get JT back?
Sounds like they can, because it sounds like they kind of waited to see what the market was going to set for JT. And there hasn't been a market. So, yeah, there's a chance that he could probably come back.
All right. So that would be the best, because you really think about JT the last few years, right? He's become more of a 6-7-8 hitter, probably closer to 7-8 or 9,
mm-hmm.
In a great lineup, than he belongs at 5. And unfortunately, the last couple of years, they just have had no choice but to bump him up in lineups from time to time. If they could bring him back and it's a small deal and he ends up being the Philly 7 hitter, I mean, that's awesome. Like, that's a deep lineup where he's a 7-er. So that's got me intrigued. And then this story by Matt Gelb just a few minutes ago. He apparently, and according to Matt Gelb, according to his report a few minutes ago, the Phillies are viewed right now as one of the favorites to sign Bo Bichette across baseball because they may be willing to do what they've done with a lot of these other contracts, which is extend it to go extra years to give him the money he wants. So Gelb throws out the idea of 6-, 7-, or 8-year contracts. Hugh Douglas, would you be willing to go there to secure Bo Bichette if nobody else is willing to go to that line.
I would not have a problem with that, especially since you're about to extend Bryce Harper. So
why you throw that in?
Come on.
We've talked about that. That's not happening.
I just saw a story come across my feed.
We told you to stop bringing that up.
This was saying. A clear mandate.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. It tracks well because I'm telling you, I just saw a story about Bryce Harper and how he's getting ready for the season, how he's ready to go. So, yeah, I think it would bode well because not then that would put Bryce Harper in a position where he can ask for some more money.
Why are you so invested in Bryce Harper getting more money?
Were you his agent or something? What are you doing?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that financial apology coming.
Okay. Can you stop? We got to focus on getting both.
Yeah, I know. One thing at a time, Hugh.
Side of the year over here.
So if this is the way they have to get Bo Bichette, I want Bo Bichette here. And I want to win the World Series with this group before their time runs out. Ideally, though, I would rather not do this, right? This is the Phillies make a habit of this.
You don't
want
to give them money.
No, I don't mind giving
them the extended years.
That's it. I mean, if they want to bump up the money per year, I don't care about John Middleton's pocketbook. Damn. What I care about is, like, he's 27 now. He's going to play his age 28 season. So, ideally, a five-year deal feels, like, perfect. Six, I could do that. And he's still, you know, his contract will run out before he still gets to his mid-30s. Seven or eight, we're doing what we've done a lot recently, which was he's going to be here probably in his decline years.
I don't care.
I know, you never care.
No.
Geriatric team at the end, whatever.
I might not even be here.
So the length doesn't matter? Just sign him no matter what?
Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah, all right.
We got a World Series to win.
I read it wrong, Joe. He extended his deal with Under Armour, and he said, like, you know, he's back like he never left, so we're going to get another rivalry pack.
Please.
I don't give a shit.
Please, no.
Yeah, they made history.
I mean, I can't one side of my mouth say I need them to go compete with the Dodgers.
Right.
And then in the other side be like, well, you know, too many years.
I know.
I don't care.
I know you don't. 10, 12, 15. Well. So that is an advantage they have because some teams don't want to do that. You know, some teams cut it off at 4, 5, 6. They don't want to go over that. The more this goes on, the more I feel like they're going to get them.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, if the Dodgers' advantage is going to be we spend all the money and we don't care, then if we want to get on that level, then maybe that's our advantage.
Yeah.
That's the one thing we can offer that no other teams will.
Yeah, most teams have gone away from that. Yeah,
great.
We'll see. As we go through this, I'm starting to believe he's going to be, truly believe he's going to be a Philly.
I will be very angry if he's not a Philly.
I've gotten to the point where I just have started to pencil him in the lineup.
Yeah,
so if he's not here, it's a loss. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've lost the
player. We should do the Bichette. We should do the lineup with Bichette tomorrow.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. So we could pencil JT back in, too. It can take a one-year deal. All right. 215-592-9494. So we're all in. We'd go to 6 years for Bichette?
Not a problem.
Seven.
Yes.
Eight.
Mm.
No, you're a little off on it. I'll go with eight.
I'm a little squirrely when we get to eight or beyond that. Let's take a deep breath. All right. Jeff in Wilmington is up. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff.
All right. So I don't think we're going too hard on Petullo. But let me get to a couple things first.
Mm-hmm.
The A.J. Brown thing is definitely an issue because this goes back a couple of years. And what I go to is last year after the Super Bowl when he basically said this, you know, it doesn't really do much for me winning the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying he's selfish because I think every, you know, receiver can be selfish. Everybody wants the ball. But I think that really digs into the psyche of the team, you know, as the season goes on and they had the cryptic tweets and all this stuff, like, I think that's an issue. I can't prove it because I'm not in the locker room and I'm not trying to say anything against him personally because I don't know the dude.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a really good dude. I don't know. I'm just saying from outside it looks like that. And another thing that's interesting, remember when Jalen first got here and he was talking about he likes to be coached hard?
Yes.
Yet now the scuttlebutt is he's resisting change or resisting whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't want to run. Like that's interesting to me too.
Jeff, I agree. I mean, if it's all accurate, right? Like if the reporting is accurate versus what we know he said in the beginning, then it speaks to someone who's changed as he's aged, right? Like his personality, his mentality. And I love that about him in the beginning, Jeff. It's part of why I thought he would work out because, you know, he would let them coach him to the level he needed to be. And obviously it worked. I mean, he's been a good quarterback.
Yeah. So getting to Petullo. So you said a lot of things at the top of the show, Joe, about all if you told us all these different things, would we say Petullo was a problem? Well, going into the season, we had an issue with the offensive line health-wise and whatever. We had a running back who was used up pretty good last year, that it's difficult to run when you've got a bad offensive line. So the way I see, Petullo should have taken those things more into consideration. And maybe he did, maybe he didn't, I don't know. But the offense should look a little different. There's a lot of times where Jalen holds on to the ball too long, but is that him not reading? I don't think so. I think it's the route tree, as everyone likes to say now. The routes were too deep. Like, it takes too much time to get them to develop. Last night I was watching, and I was watching the Steelers game, and I hate Aaron Rodgers. Man, that dude gets the ball out quick.
Yeah, he does.
Shouldn't that be something to do if you've got a sketchy offensive line? Don't give the quarterback the chance to hold on to the ball. Let's try to get it out quicker. I don't know. That's just what I observed.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, Jeff, to your point, maybe the problem was from the start, not so much Sunday, right? By Sunday, they were what they were.
There's a whole lot going on.
Yeah,
Sunday.
But you're right. Maybe they should have changed the approach. It did feel like they thought they could just do it again, what they did last year, and
yes.
It did not work.
And
right?
They can't.
Yeah.
Mainly because of the offensive line. You know, I don't know, man. It just, there's a lot of things going on. Sunday was bad all the way around. Defense didn't really play that well. They gave up too many chunk plays. Can't let Vic Fangio off the hook on that. And Stoutland University looked like Stoutland Community College.
It did. It did not look good. Jeff, good phone call. And you're right. I mean, the defense, for as good as they were this season, they did not play their best football on Sunday. I mean, they needed more out of the defense. They weren't bad, Hugh, but they weren't their best.
I mean, I hear you. I feel like, I mean, this is what happens when you lose. This is what happens when you lose. But we went into this game, and in my purview, they did enough for you to win. Like, they weren't stellar. They gave up a touchdown in the first drive of the game, but they did enough for you to win. They really did. Like, they, for the most part, because we're looking at the beginning of the game and we're looking at the end of the game. Because that's the key moments that are left in our heads.
Sure.
But that was a chess match throughout. They gave you two interceptions that you did nothing with. It's easy to blame the defense when they don't do what they've been doing the whole year. But we've seen times where they've let you down because they're leaking. They've been out there the whole game.
Yeah, we did ask a lot.
Look at this time of possession when you talk about that, man. I mean,
well, Eagles won time of possession this week.
No, but I'm saying the point is this. They gave you back the ball, and they gave you opportunities, and you squandered both of them. You got 3 points out of one of them and didn't get nothing out of the other interception.
Yeah, to be clear, I mean, the offense was way more of the reason they lost the game. I mean, it's not even close. I'm just saying.
No, I get it. Yeah. But it's just like when you hear that, it's like, dog.
Yeah.
You know.
They did let them walk down the field for their last touchdown, though.
Dog. They
did.
When you get a chance, especially when the game is close, and you have a chance to experiment, it's easy to figure out things once you get another crack at it and all that. That's basically what that was, because your offense did nothing to separate yourselves from their offense.
I know. No, you're right.
And when you talk about the personnel that you had against their personnel, that's what makes it crazy. No, but I get it. I'm not absolving the defense, but I just think it's kind of crazy when you talk about what they were up against, an offensive guru, a genius. And the way that they handled that, they had some miscues, no question. But, damn, you kept giving them a bite at the apple because you couldn't score offensively.
Yeah, I mean, you did. I mean, they went, what, three and out, like 4 to 5 possessions,
yeah.
Which is what they typically do in the middle of games. J-Dog, Douglasville. What's up, J-Dog?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up?
Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Yeah, just a couple thoughts. My thoughts here. You know, there's a lot of blame to go around. I just think that the one, you know, if you're starting at who should get the most blame. I mean, we have a standard here in Philadelphia, and it's greatness. Uncle Jeff and Howie, you know, they brought that in. So there's no looking back. I mean, that's our standard now. So, you know, if people aren't going to, you know, get onto that bandwagon of greatness, then, you know, there's going to be a problem. I think that, you know, you have to go to Kevin Petullo, unfortunately. And the reason why I go there is if I visualize putting Ben Johnson in there as a offensive coordinator, how do I visualize, you know, our season, and do we do better than Kevin Petullo? And does this help put our players in a better position? I say, yeah. I say, definitely. So, you know, I'd have to start with him. Did he do a bad job? No, I think he did an average job. But, again, it's a business. Does
you know, do we want average, or do we now have that greatness, you know, that we're that standard now? I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, so I have to go with him first, unfortunately. He doesn't deserve all the blame. And then I think, number two, I think that A.J. Brown and both Hurts, but they never bought into Kevin Petola's offense. They didn't like it. They don't want it for whatever reasons. And they, you know, for whatever reason, I mean, is it a coincidence that A.J. Brown's play just tapered off here the whole year? I mean, those some of those catches. I mean, I guess you guys did they just did he miss those there? I mean, did he actually tank on the catches?
I don't know. I mean, if those I wish I could have seen and J-Dog, good phone call. I wish I could have seen the like a higher camera shot of some of those, because mm-hmm. with the way the wind was, the deep shots. I don't know. Did the ball die? Because it did. Now he dropped the one he dropped in the last drive. It was a drop. I mean, mm-hmm. it just hit him in the hands. The other two, it was kind of, he went to catch them strangely, as if they moved in the air, which certainly could have happened with the wind. I don't know. I mean, as far as A.J. goes, I think he's physically declining. I don't think A.J. Brown's the same guy he was 3 years ago physically. And that's obviously not a Kevin Petula. I mean, that happens to athletes. It's just they age.
Yeah. And you know, when you visibly point fingers at other people and you're having games where you're dropping balls and not – you know, making the plays that we are constantly seeing to make. Yeah, it's a real bad look.
Yeah, I mean, it really, for everyone out there that was frustrated with AJ during the season, it really, what an ending that he has a bad day in their final game of the season. Mad Mike, King of Prussia, up on WIP. Hey, Mad Mike.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
We're trying to figure it out together.
You know what? I told you so I just wanted to get that out of the way. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I came up with the list for you guys. It's the WIP Jalen Hurts jock sniffer list.
Oh, boy. All right.
Yes.
What do you got? How many on the list? How many you got?
Four.
Okay,
four.
So this is your top
so far,
four. Yeah, top four. Okay, let's hear them.
So we got Ike Reese, Jalen Hurts jock sniffer. We got John Ritchie, big-time Jalen Hurts jock sniffer. James Seltzer, big-time Jalen Hurts jock sniffer. And at the tippy top of the list, Hunter Brody, that he Broads will not, St. Jalen does no wrong in Hunter Brody's list. He had nothing to do with the game on Sunday. It was all everybody else.
Of course
fault.
It was. Well, I was waiting for Broads because this is the second year we did Jalen Hurts Appreciation Day, right, in the middle of the season?
Yeah.
What do you think of that list, Hugh? Ike, Richie, Seltzer, Brody?
This quarterback is the Teflon Don of accountability. He just gets to stink for 2 years. So much so that last year they took the ball out of his hands and say, Saquon, take us to the playoffs. And we're always like, oh, St. Jalen, oh, he outplayed Patrick Mahomes in two Super Bowls. No, he didn't, because he lost one of them, and Patrick Mahomes was damn near perfect in the second half. He did not. You're all mouth-breathing losers. But, like, I'm tired of hearing that one. Jalen Hurts is an offensive coordinator killer. He stinks. He refuses to run. He's not a quarterback, and when you take away his running, he's nothing. He's marginal at best.
Well, I do agree.
And no one wants to call him out. No one wants to call him out because
nobody.
Some people do, but I mean, what it is we don't want to acknowledge that maybe he's not as good as we thought. I mean, that's uncomfortable. Mike, we appreciate the list. Hugh, what do you think of the list there? Jock sniffers is not a term you hear very often anymore.
No, it's a little unfair.
That's strong.
It's a little unfair.
It's an antiquated term, but the list is interesting. I would call this the Jalen Hurts, the biggest Jalen Hurts supporters. We could just say that instead of jock sniffers.
Yeah, it's a little unfair.
Ike, Richie, Seltzer, Broads.
Yeah, it's a little unfair. I don't consider any of those guys jock sniffers. I consider them.
Well, that's the man
individual.
Mike Flair.
Yeah. If I change the word to Jalen supporters, would you?
I think that's probably that sounds
list,
a little better.
Yeah, I mean Broads has got to be top of the list. I mean he's the guy. Seltzer's a big Hurts guy. I would say that. Richie's a big Hurts guy. I feel like Ike's a little bit more objective on the Hurts.
I would
thing.
Agree.
It's more towards like he just calls it like he sees it. The other three, I would say, are Hurts guys.
See, I feel like more for Richie, it's because he actually played offense, and he knows that intimately. I think of Ike, when he talks about it, it's more objectively because Ike was a linebacker, and when I think of Ike and the knowledge that he has of the game, he understands the concepts, you know, in which to play, because he's in coverage all the time.
So Seltzer and Broz are just probably, apologists?
Probably. I think Broz just over the top with everything that he does, which I totally appreciate.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate him standing up for his guy.
Seltzer's emotional. Seltzer's a little emotional.
Well, we've heard that. We've heard a little bit. He's very emotional.
Seltzer's emotional.
Unlike me.
Yeah. Yeah, no. More even-keeled. Yes, I agree with that.
No, but it's when you talk about this situation with Jalen, it's a bunch of different things, because we've seen Jalen have success. So that's why I'm not on the band on board with it all being his problem.
Well, it's definitely not all Jalen Hurts's, but it's at the same time, it's not
he's
all
part of it.
He's
no.
not all Kevin Petullo's no, fault. And that's also, when was the last time we saw this passing game be really good?
It's been a while. Mm. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Like how about like 4 years?
It's been about that.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't here for the first one, but it's been a while.
It feels like a long time ago.
It does.
Passing game was consistently really good. Ryan is up on WIP. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's up, studio?
What's up, Ryan? What are you thinking?
Hey, have you guys seen that Spider-Man meme where they're all pointing the finger at
yes,
each other?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Who hasn't
that's
seen
Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, A.J. Brown, and Kevin Petullo. They're all to blame at the end of the day.
And well, I mean, they're all part of it. I agree.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
who do you pinpoint? Like, who's the true reason of it? And I think a lot of this distraction came from AJ all season. And I feel like, I mean, we all know he had his mental health problems. I get that. I feel that. And it's tough. It's tough.
It is. Sorry, Ryan. Phone is connection. Connection is not great. It's as bad as the passing game at times. Not great there. Yeah, I mean, I do think they're all – that's – I guess it's my larger point is that Petullo's just become the guy. We just say it's all on him. They're all part of this thing.
Yeah, no question about it. But I think for us as fans, we gotta dole out blame. And right now, Kevin Petullo is the blame guy. He's the guy.
It doesn't make it right.
Yeah, it doesn't. But it is what it is. I'm not saying it's right, but he's about to get flamed for it.
He's been getting flamed for 48 hours, and he will probably lose his job over it. The whole thing is wild to me that we just have decided he's the reason all this stuff fell off. I don't buy it. I think there's way more to what is going on around here. All right, let's do this quickly. We'll do it, and then we'll be done with it. Cowboy Jim up on WIP. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
More Mad Mike, less Aaron from San Diego. How about that?
Well, Aaron's suspended for the week after yesterday's performance.
Yeah. Oh, Eagles lose, and Aaron's out for the week. Oh, it couldn't be any better. And talking about Boba Fett, it won't help you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, world? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, chicken farmer, and now host of Free Range. This is a show where I go off the field and off the script. We're talking what's hot in music, film, trending news, and everything blowing up your feed. If you love football, you'll feel at home. But if you're here for the vibes, the internet deep dives, the conversation, this is your podcast. Join me every Wednesday. Follow and listen to Free Range with me, Von Miller, everywhere you get your podcasts.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Your sorrow, okay? How about you go get that kid that was ripping the Eagles, you know, saying the Petula should be flipping burgers? Why don't you get him to be a regular caller rather than a loser from San Diego?
Right, he's going
to
be a host one day. I could hear it in his voice.
Oh,
that kid's going to be on the air. Yeah,
I can. Okay. So much for a dynasty. I guess that's out of the question now. You know, no one's talking about dynasties anymore. Is that correct?
Yeah, but we're going back to the playoffs.
It's on hold. It's just on hold.
Well,
yeah. So basically,
if we win next year, then we're back.
Yeah, that was
dynasty has a lot of legs.
The NFC East stinks. It's an embarrassment.
Well, part of that is because of the Cowboys.
It's an embarrassment.
Yeah, I know.
And don't let Joe and Kyle, or as I call them, the lowercase exciting whiteys, undermine you when, you know, because you know all along about the Eagles. You didn't have, you know, you knew all along. They were a 9-8 team or an 8-9 team. You knew that all along. So don't be surprised that they lost to the 49ers. You know that. Is that correct?
No, I was surprised they lost to the 49ers. Oh, I was a little hurt.
Come on.
For an alley-oop there, Jim, and you got swatted away. I mean, he didn't know that. He guaranteed a victory.
Guaranteed
that's enough,
that
Jim. I'm out. Enough of Jim.
I guaranteed that thing, man.
It was a bad guarantee, if we're being frank.
Not really.
It was.
I mean, it was a guarantee, but, I mean, I tried to tell y'all. Y'all don't want to tell me, I put 24 points on it.
Well, that's what they needed to win. Literally, they needed 24. I told you for the whole week.
Their ceiling is 21.
And
they didn't
that's
even reach
why
their ceiling.
It's over.
They didn't reach their ceiling.
No, they didn't. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get everyone's phone calls up here. Ross Tucker will join us. That's his take on the Petullo situation. What's next? If they do move on, who could be the next coordinator? And what happens this offseason? Ross will join us next, plus his take on the remaining eight teams in the NFL postseason. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Chill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get back to all your phone calls coming up here. First, though, we got to talk to our guy, Ross Tucker. We do it every Tuesday. I wish we were getting ready for an Eagles-Bears game in the division round. We're not. We're unpacking the pieces of a wild card loss to the 49ers and talking about what's next at Ross Tucker NFL, the Daily Ross Report there. Ross, how you doing today?
Ross. I am doing okay. My flight is booked to Chicago because I'm calling the Rams and the Bears. And to your point, it'd be a lot cooler if it was the Eagles and the Bears.
It would. Unfortunately, we're not there, and we're ready for an offseason here in Philadelphia with a lot of things up in the air. Ross, let's start here. The game on Sunday. How did you see it, and what went wrong for the Eagles? Because they went in as a heavy favorite, and man for man, it looked like with the Niners' injuries, how are they going to do this? And the Eagles let them come in here and win that game. What stood out to you watching the game Sunday?
So I think Sunday's game was really emblematic of the whole season, and I'm sure I'm not the only person that said that, but I would say Sunday's game in general and the season in particular just represent to me a massive missed opportunity, because I still deep down believe the Eagles probably have the best roster in the NFL, and most of those guys are in their prime, and most of those guys are healthy. You know, the only guy they were really missing on Sunday was Lane Johnson. Meanwhile, obviously everybody knew all the injuries the 49ers had. So to be in that spot where you are rested, you didn't play in week 18, you're healthier, you're playing at home, you have the better roster. I mean, I was thinking about this after the game. Only like a handful of 49ers in that game would start on the Eagles team. Only a handful. I mean, the Eagles would have the vast majority of the starters if you made an all-star team or whatever from those two teams. So it's a huge missed opportunity. It's not shocking because of what we saw all year. It is surprising because I did think that they would be able to take it to another level like they did in 22 and 24 when they averaged more than 7 points per game in those playoff seasons than they did in the regular season. Quite frankly, I thought the defense would play better. I thought Jalen Hurts would run it more. And I feel like, you know, I don't know if it's 3 years from now or 5 years from now or 10 years from now or all the above, we're going to look back and say, gosh, 2025, what happened? They had this guy and that guy. Windows like this, opportunities like this, do not come along very often. Ask Q when he was with the Eagles in the early 2000s. When you have the team, when you have the roster, you have to come through. You have to find a way to make the plays in the critical games to get over the hump and get to the next round.
Well, I agree with that. And we see this across the NFL all the time when there's this rare collection of talent that you don't know how long it lasts. Now, Ross, there's a lot of blame to go around for what happened during the season and then certainly Sunday. Where do you come down on how much of it and really, frankly, I think too much is being put on Kevin Petullo. I'm not trying to say he's great, and he's probably going to lose his job, and they're probably going to upgrade an offensive coordinator. I acknowledge all that. It just feels from my seat, Ross, that everyone is just saying this is all Petullo's fault. And I look at the game Sunday and the year, and I say the players had plays to be made. They didn't make them. I mean, he didn't drop those passes AJ did. I thought the final sequence, Jalen Hurts did not play that right. I mean, he threw a ball out of bounds on second down with their season on the line. How much, when you watch the team this year, did say, man, Petullo screwed up a good thing versus the players really had a tough season individually and then collectively?
Well, I kind of knew, and I even told him this coming into the year, that Petullo was in almost an impossible spot because he was really the only new guy on the whole team, but in particular on the offense because Vic Fangio was back. And so if they had any issues at all, people were going to blame him because he was the new guy. The reality is the offensive line took a pretty decent step back this year, and I think guys in and out of the lineup plus guys being less than 100% was a big reason for that. You know, the receivers in particular, I thought A.J. Brown was not quite the same player. In particular in this game, drops were an issue. Now, the part that I am curious about, and I don't know how much to slice this up on the players versus the coaches, you know, and even in particular versus Sirianni and Kevin Petullo, is the penalties, you know? Like the Darius Cooper hold, you're on the perimeter. You're blocking a corner pretty good. Here comes Saquon Barkley. You don't need to try to hold on to the guy like that. You don't need to take him down to the ground like that. So certainly that should go on the player. But the reality is when you have an undrafted rookie free agent out of Tarleton State playing in a big moment in a playoff game, he's probably going to make some mistakes. So is it their fault for having him out there? Is it their fault for not teaching him well enough in those situations to understand the scenario and that, hey, when you're out there in space, you got to be smart. We can't get the penalty. If that guy's going to come off and try to make an arm tackle on Saquon Barkley, that's okay. But that kind of stuff, I mean, just so many penalties. So often they're behind the chains. And then they end up completing a pass on third down short of the line again. It was really, really frustrating,
Russ,
obviously.
What was your perspective of the final sequence? So, and specifically the fourth down call. They called a timeout. They had a thought on what the 49ers were doing based on who was on the field because they'd seen it. And then they called the timeout. And they came out, and it ended up being an incomplete over the middle to Dallas Goedert. A lot of people very critical of the play call. Ross, I don't know what they should have called. My thought was, though, that is a difficult spot. It's 4th and 11, and of course, there's no you can't clear anyone out, right? The back of the end zone is there, so you're in a condensed space. What did you make of what they tried versus what they could have and how the season basically ended?
Well, so I guess I would say the biggest issue I had was the calling of the timeout. And I recognize that, you know, it would have been an uphill battle, but they would have gotten the ball back with probably over 30 seconds left. So let's play it out. They don't get the first down. They stop the Niners on 3 runs. I think there was 43 seconds left. Stop their Niners on 3 runs. Maybe those take 8 seconds off the clock. So now you're at 35, and then the Niners have to punt. It's not a great chance, but it's still another chance. So I guess the issue I have, Joe, is you call a timeout, and then that's the play that you come up with? You know, I mean, if you're going to call a timeout, I would like you to come up with something really good as opposed to that, which was a very, very difficult window for Hurts to try to fit the ball into. What really got him was you have second down where Hurts has to throw the ball away. I mean, first down, it looked like there was a seam there and that Hurts was going to be able to take that for a long way. Kudos to the Niners defenders for coming in and tackling him. The second down throwaway really, really hurt you. You got to get some positive yardage in that situation. And then third down, it would not have been an easy catch, but that's one with the season on the line, you would have liked a little bit better ball placement from Hurts, and you would like to see Devontae Smith find a way to make that catch.
Ross Tucker with us. Ross, let's look forward. NFL postseason, 8 teams left. Unfortunately, no Eagles. You'll be in Chicago for the Rams and Bears game. Ross, what's your thought on how the field looks now after Wild Card Weekend, which was before the Eagles game, just an incredible 3 games, you know, 1-2-3 leading into the Eagles game, and where we are now. So Buffalo in Denver. We have the Texans at the Patriots. You'll be in Chicago for the Rams and the Bears. And then, of course, Seattle and San Francisco. The NFC looks like a tremendous couple of games we have here. What's your thought on the 4 games left?
I feel pretty strongly on it, Joe. I would be surprised if it's not Rams-Seahawks for the NFC Championship game in Seattle. I think they're the two best teams. I think that there's a chance they both win by double digits, quite frankly, in their game. I think the Bears probably can keep it a little bit closer than the Niners do out in Seattle. And then the AFC, I think I'm going to take both underdogs, both road teams. Mm. And it's probably unlikely, but what I witnessed from the Texans last night on the sideline and that defense, yeah. And as long as CJ Stroud doesn't lose his mind and have 3 horrendous turnovers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors. From fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, Help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Again, Texans are going to be a tough out. And if you think the Broncos and Bills is going to be a close game late, and that's what the betting line would indicate, how are you taking Bo Nix over Josh Allen? I can't do that. I physically cannot do that. One guy is capable of putting on Superman's cape. The other guy, in my mind, really isn't, although he did it a couple times this year late in games. I think both the road teams – that would be wild if the AFC Championship game is the Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans, and it would be the Texans' first home playoff game of the playoffs would be the conference championship.
Yeah, that
Texas
would be wild.
Would go crazy. Yeah. Would go crazy.
Well, that place would be wild and be a rematch of a game we saw earlier this season. Ross, have a great rest of your week. Enjoy it. We'll be listening and watching on Sunday with you in Chicago. Thank you again, and we'll catch up soon.
Sounds great. See you guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker there with his thoughts on it. But that would be crazy if he's right about that. That Bills-Broncos in his room. I think the Bills are the first team with a bye that's an underdog.
That's great. Well, since quarterback. Probably because of Bo, right?
Oh, sure. And Josh, you know. Yeah. But I think it's the first time since the Foles-Eagles, underdogs to the Falcons after the bye in 17. Hugh, it's pretty rare to have a bye and then be the underdog.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But, man, I tell you, that's going to be a good game. That's probably going to be the best game of the weekend.
And it's the first one. Yeah, I think that's the Saturday 4:30. It will be a great football game.
I love Buffalo.
You love it?
Love Buffalo. Close to guaranteeing.
Off a bye?
Yeah.
Denver at home?
Yeah.
I think it's coin flip.
Mm-mm.
Coin flip. Well, your last guarantee didn't work out great.
You mean Hughes?
Well, I'm sorry. Do you guarantee a game this weekend?
I ain't saying nothing.
Why?
I refuse to watch football this weekend. I'm still, it all depends. But right now, I'm feeling like that.
You say
might
it
be
like I'm forcing you to do it. You don't have to.
I'm feeling like that might be the case.
Okay.
Right now, I'm still in mourning.
Yeah.
I'm still
I get football. It. I mean, we could talk about that Friday. If people are going to watch this weekend or if they're giving it up. I get
You're
it.
Watching football.
I'm lying to myself. I know.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch.
I'm addicted. I'm just going to watch. Like I'm going to lie to everyone and say I'm not going to watch the games. Of course, we watch the games. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Hey, Joe Kyle. What's up, man?
Terrence, what's up, buddy?
Guys, man. Jalen Hurts was, like, I feel like with a new coordinator, I feel like we could turn this around. Like, yeah, I'm not the biggest Jalen Hurts guy. I feel like Jalen Hurts, he's not him. He has to improve. He has to use the whole field. But, guys, Petula, I feel like it's a big thing when they ask Sirianni in the post-game press conference, they asked him about bringing Petula back, and all he said was, we got to evaluate everything. They asked Jalen Hurts about Petula, and he says, I'm not going to speak on that right now. So that's saying a lot about Kevin Petula and his play calling. Could Hurts have done better with the weapons that he had? Yes, he had to do better. But, guys, I feel like Petula, if he was here all those years, and I was telling Kyle, we saw what Hurts did with Shane Steichen. We saw what he did Shane Steichen was a veteran, proven coordinator, and we saw what Hurts did. And Kyle told me that might have been Jalen Hurts' peak. But he has had a different coordinator every year, and I feel like this has been bringing him down, learning a new system. And I feel like the same thing with Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson didn't know what he was doing. Kevin Petula didn't know what he was doing. So, Joe, I know Hurts, I feel like he's not a top-10 quarterback. I feel like he doesn't play good. He doesn't use the receivers right. He doesn't use his slot receiver. He doesn't use the middle of the field. But I can't blame, like, to me, it's on everybody. It's on Hurts. It's on Petullo. It's on Nick Sirianni. I can't say, like, most of the blame is on Jalen Hurts today, because that last play call was a definition of how Petullo has been calling plays all year. That last play call to send all your guys on a streak down the field, and not, you don't have nothing going to the sideline. You don't have nothing going to the middle of the field, a curl route, a slant. You don't have a post route, none of that. Like, that's baffling to me. And they showed the last play. These guys are all looking at each other on the sideline when they called that timeout. And you can see Hurts and Sirianni looking at each other like they were all dumbfounded. Like, what you want me to call a dummy? Like, that play call right there was the definition of the Philadelphia Eagles offensive season. You had Saquon Barkley. You had Dallas Goedert. I don't care. This is an indictment on as coaching my practice on Petullo, because you had all these, like, yeah, AJ's in the decline, but he's still productive. And Smitty, yeah, Hurts didn't have the best game, but there was a lot of drop balls. Smitty dropped the ball, AJ dropped four balls, and that could have changed the outcome and swing the game in a different direction.
Well, sure. The drops were bad. I mean, the last one was the worst one. Fortunately, they got the Goddard catch right after Terrence, we appreciate, so they were able to overcome that one. I just, that last play that Terrence brought up, and a lot of people have referenced the
look on their face.
The look, because they took a timeout.
Where do we get the idea that everybody was so, like, I didn't get that at all. When I saw that clip a million times, everyone's like, Hurts looks like you can't even believe his, you can hardly even see his face.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. I just thought it was.
What are we doing?
Everyone has collectively made that up. I think. I
mean, well, because it's the exclamation point on the fire Petullo thing. He called a bad last play. Guys, the third down. Is Devontae Smith open? Yes, I'll answer the question. He is. Is Jalen have a clean pocket?
Are you talking about the sequence?
Yeah, I'm just saying,
yeah.
Why are we in the 4th and 11?
You're trying to get to why did it come down to that timeout in the last play?
Yeah, it's third and first of all, the second down play, again, I'm not going to get right again and scream, but it's going to keep me up all offseason that we just threw the ball away on second down. The third down play, for as much as Petullo is in moron, Devontae's open. He called it. He got him open.
He drew up some plays that you felt could have got one in the game.
Well, you at least got first and goal. Yeah. I mean, he's probably tackled, you know, at the 10-yard line.
And that's probably what's being litigated as we speak.
It's first and goal, and away we go. It's a bad throw, and Devontae, who makes a lot of spectacular catches, couldn't get that one. And then we're on to a 4th and 11. What's the call there?
Well,
where's the 4th and 11 in the playbook with the end zone behind them?
Well, another thing I'm wondering is, if we're to trust and believe that this is the same offense overall for years now, this is Hurts' 5th season running it,
yeah,
right? Can he not change a route at the line of scrimmage? Can he not change a play or, like...
Yeah, I mean, Hugh, I would guess that they, before the game, have a package of plays for 4th and got to have it, right?
Yeah.
So when they went to the sideline, that clip that Terrence is talking about that everyone's referenced, I don't know how many it is. Is it 3? Is it 5? Is it 2? I don't know how many plays they could choose from, but they probably have
it. Feel like it's a lot.
Okay. Well, you're
don't feel like a 4th and 11 don't feel like it's a whole lot.
3? 2?
Maybe.
Okay.
It don't feel like it's a lot.
Right. So then they went over with him. This is where we're going. Like, I'm sure he had input on what they were doing.
Yeah, and just like, it's amazing to me that everybody's, like, two of the most defining moments in the history of Philadelphia came down to the coach talking to the player. And you saw in the first one, when you talk about Nick Foles and
Doug.
Well, to your point, that was Foles running up to Doug and asking him to play.
And if I'm not mistaken, hasn't Nick Foles told us on his podcast this year that a quarterback has a lot of input with what is called, and you have to be comfortable with it?
Of course.
So I don't know what his narrative was drawn where they say that Jalen didn't like to play, but he ran it anyway. Jalen's the quarterback, and Jalen has told us on more than one occasion that the offense is going to look the way he wanted to look.
I'm positive.
Also, you told us that he was calling the plays in the second half of the Rams game.
Yeah, now, that would have been the moment.
That's been doing that again.
A John Wayne moment. Slaps Petullo, goes out there, and scores a touchdown.
I'd have looked at him like, dog, what you talking about? 4 verticals? Come on now. We're not running that. But again.
But what's the play? Like, no one has told me in 3 days what they should have done.
I was about to say, ain't a whole lot you can do in that situation.
I know, because no one wants to talk about first down, second down, third down. That's where the game was lost, everyone. That's where the fight, 4th and 11, it is a Hail Mary. Like, the defense knows you're in a bad spot. I just, like, that's...
Yeah, and they're not letting you beat them behind. They're not letting you get behind them. A good defense is not in it anyway.
Well, yeah, of course.
And then they know that's for all the marbles on that one, so yeah. No, they're not letting you.
It's just, it's a bad spot. All right, let's go to Mike in Philly. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. So I'm going to try to attempt, I've been listening for the last 2 days. I'm going to try to attempt to go a different way than what everybody else is going on this. I think this season is equivalent to buying a Bugatti with used tires. Now, I'm going to try to explain. Now, I think what we see this year has been a manifestation of something that's been happening for the last 10 years. The person I have smoke for, and in regards to how he's built the team, I give him much credit, is Howie Roseman. Now, I've listened to several different interviews with Howie personally, and he has explained on numerous occasions that the hardest part of his career has been when he was demoted to Chip Kelly. And ever since then, I've seen how things have been going when it comes to who he decides to hire in regards to the offensive coordinators and head coaches. I felt like the whole Doug Peterson thing was Doug wanted a little bit more control, and how he wasn't willing to let it happen. And ever since then, they've been dealing with spare parts outside of Shane Steichen and the Kellen Moore years. To me, we're going to continue to have to deal with Jalen having a new coordinator every year until somebody decides that we go get like a Jim Harbaugh or somebody, give him actual real power. Because to be honest, there really isn't any real teams that consistently compete for championships every year that the front office runs the team. So just to end it off that way, guys, I really think, like, look, Howie did a great job building a team, but overall, we can't keep dealing with guys. We need a real head coach who has real head coaching power, who gets respect in the locker room, the guys will listen to him, and Howie just does the player personnel thing. So I appreciate your time. You guys have a great day.
Mike, appreciate the phone call.
Howie caught a stray.
Well, so
I hear him. I hear him, though.
I have two thoughts on it. I don't think he's wrong in his theory. Uh-huh. Like I think ever since the Chip thing happened, Howie and Jeff said, nobody's ever going to be in charge but us. That's my view. Like, they're never – as much as we may love it, do you think they're ever going to hire a Shanahan type, a McVay type? I don't think so either. So with that, he's right. Now, the pushback I would give – and I know he said goodbye. Hugh, as much as maybe that is more traditional – we can't pretend this hasn't worked.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, Joe.
Three Super Bowls.
Well, yeah, three and one, two.
Right.
I mean, there's something to be said. And Doug drew the line in the sand.
And he got axed.
And he got axed. That's why we were talking earlier. We was like, will Sirianni ride for his boy? Nah, I don't see that happening. He's not going to do that. This is a good job to have, man. And it's not a bad spot to be in until you're at the spot you're in now.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not, because you've rode the wave. You've been called a bunch of mean and hurtful names, and you rode the wave, and you won the Super Bowl for the team that Howie built. Now, I'm kind of with Howie with relinquishing power, because you saw what happened. And the team was not good for that. Howie's built a strong roster, man. And like we like to talk about all the time, Howie's probably a Hall of Fame GM. No question about that.
Yeah.
So, and I don't work over there. I don't know him well enough, but it doesn't seem like he's that hard to work with, you know, because at the end of the day, all he wants to do is win.
I agree. But I think there is something, too, that they'd prefer a coach more like Doug or Sirianni than, like, let's be real. You think Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay are going to listen, Howie? No.
Probably not. Right. It's probably going to be some pushback.
Right, right. But, I don't think they want that. Now, but this has worked.
But I was about to say that. If you're Kyle Shanahan and you come in, it's almost like working with John Lynch. John Lynch knows probably more football than Kyle Shanahan.
But because Kyle gets final say on the roster.
Okay. I'll give you that. But Howie's final say with this roster has put this roster in a pretty darn good spot.
Yeah, it is a weird – I think the caller totally brings up something valid, but it's one of those where, like, I get it, and see it, but, like, they're not going to stop because they've won like this.
And let me say this, too. I think that that's probably true for Coach Sirianni. I don't think that's true for Vic Fangio.
No, well, he gets to do it.
I don't think that's true for Vic Fangio. I think Vic Fangio, the OG, making meatballs on a Saturday, Like
you love that video.
Oh man, that was awesome. Like he's said in meetings, he'd be like, man, whatever. Like, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but you know, hey, Bryce Love, he can't play for me. He out of here.
Well,
after he got paid, and Howie has alluded to the fact that, you know, Vic Fangio pushes back. I think he respects that more than anything. You know, it's worked. At the end of the day, when you Howie might be you might be mad at Howie today, but Howie's built a hell of a roster, yeah, man.
And maybe it means that they won't win back-to-back Super Bowls. Maybe that's going to be challenging.
Yeah, but you're going to be relevant.
But right, maybe that's going to be more of a Spurs type of run, right? You know, the Spurs didn't win back-to-back titles, yeah, but the Spurs for 15 years.
San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, right. Like, it's just going to be a different kind of dynasty or different kind of great run rather than the continuity of year by year because the coach loses his coordinator. All right. I think Petullo's getting way too much blame for what's going on around here. You're causing that. Plus, more on the final play of the game, what others have said about who's at fault, maybe where Jalen could have went with the football. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.